HZOE weekday afternoons 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210. WPHT. And on the free Odyssey app.
Remember how America was supposed to be uniting, coming together to tone down the rhetoric after the failed assassination attempt on President Trump that almost was an actual assassination on President Trump? Well, that lasted all of about 5 minutes. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here, our fourth and final hour in Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Thanks for being here. I'm telling you, when I was asked on Fox News by that fill-in host at 3:40 a.m., the new prime time, about Republicans and both sides toning down the rhetoric. And I said, no, it's not both sides that need to tone down the rhetoric. It's the left that needs to tone down the rhetoric. It's the left that keeps calling the guy Hitler and a fascist and Mussolini. Well, leave it to the vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi, to prove my point that both sides do not need to tone down the rhetoric, that it is the left that is insane. Because Pelosi came out and told the Washington Post she basically wants Republicans to die. We're out to get you and you're dead. That's right. Welcome back to the fourth and final hour on the show. I appreciate you being here today. According to the Washington Post, Pelosi's message to Republicans, I'm out to get you. Listen, I'm not taking anything away from Nancy Pelosi, because if there's anyone, and I mean anyone who knows death, it's Nancy Pelosi. She's an expert in it. That's why she's the vampiric one. So she has this whole story here in the Washington Post about how Nancy Pelosi now is turning around to her enemies, to all those people that were out to get her, and she's going to destroy them. She's going to have them destroyed. And I love it, too, because it's all BS. The whole idea that we were going to tone down the rhetoric, that in any way, shape, or form, Pelosi was going to, or any Democrat for that matter, was going to stop and tone things down and try to unite the country, it was all made up. It was all BS. They justify it by saying that there is reason to stop Trump because he's a fascist and he's Hitler and everything else. So that's what she said to the Washington Post. And I'll just quote you a little bit from the story. Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said she tells Republican leaders, we're out to get you, you're dead. And likened Donald Trump to a fascist. Weeks after Trump was shot in the ear by a would-be assassin. Pelosi pounded the table angrily in an interview with reporters while dispensing wisdom that sounds like a mix of crime boss and local party activists. Now, remember, after the assassination attempt, we were told that we had to cool things down, we had to dial it back, the rhetoric, it was too harsh, everybody needs to chill out. Pelosi didn't get the memo. Actually, she did get the memo, she just doesn't care. Look, she doesn't care. It's the bottom line is this. Democrats love to use hateful, angry, divisive rhetoric, especially when it surrounds Donald Trump. And they love to call the guy Hitler, and they love to scare everybody into believing that he's going to be somebody who destroys democracy and the world. The world. The world. And I'm telling you right now, you know, when you think about the anger that's out there in America, it's anger directed at the economy. Like that woman yesterday who cried because inflation was so bad. Cried because inflation was so bad. You remember that woman? And that to me says everything. I mean, when I think about the state of America today, when I think about people being upset, I think about that woman. And I'm just going to remind you of what she said yesterday, because I think it's everything. And the left can try with their phony rhetoric, but this woman's a black woman in Philadelphia talking about how bad the economy is. And the only thing that's killing people is the economy. All right. That's what's killing people out there. Pelosi may want people dead, but then Bidenomics will do it.
How hard has inflation hit you?
It hit me hard. It's hitting me hard.
Who do you blame for it?
I blame the federal government at this point. If a working class mom who works as a paralegal cannot buy a $2 bell pepper because it's now $5, imagine a mother living on food stamps. Mm. Imagine a mother who's making minimum wage trying to feed children. Mm. They're killing us without killing us. If you understand that. They're killing us without telling us they're killing us. They're hurting people in ways that they can't help themselves. It's either feed my child or how about feed my children and I don't. But I have to go work.
I mean, your heart breaks for this woman. It has to break. You're not a human being if your heart doesn't break for her. They're killing us. They're killing us with this inflation. So, you know, when you've got Nancy Pelosi and other people turning around and saying that she's out to destroy Republicans and get people don't know, that woman, to me, in my mind, I think she's had it with their phony rhetoric about calling Trump Hitler and Mussolini and everything else. Oh, by the way, election worker Daryl Blackburn, Harris County, Texas, charged with tampering and theft after there was a paper ballot shortage at 119 polling locations across Harris County during the 2022 midterm election. But I thought that stuff couldn't happen. I thought that was not allowed to happen. I thought that was a thing that would never occur. I mean, yesterday was a whole story about how you got all these people out in Vegas, you know, all these hackers who are working on the election machines and seeing if they can hack into them and finding out, oh, look at that. We can. Turns out we can, in fact, hack into these election machines. And then they expose the vulnerabilities and they go, yeah, too bad. It's not going to be fixed anytime before Election Day. Oh, you remember the snitch line they had for COVID? Do you remember that snitch line they had for people who were ratting out their friends, ratting out their neighbors, all those other people? Well, they set that up in they set that up for Minnesota, and this is what Tim Walz justified it. This is how he justified it.
Paul Gazelka wants you to take the hotline down for people to report violations of the stay home order. Do we need a hotline? Is it being used?
It is being used, and we simply want people to be able to call and let folks know, and it's for their own good. We have numbers. If somebody sees a fire at a neighbor's house, they want to tell them. If we see people that may not be as informed on this, it's an educational piece, so we're certainly going to do that, and we're not going to take down a telephone number that allows people just to try and keep their neighbors safe.
Okay, so if you're ratting out your neighbors, that's for the good of humanity. So we're going to keep that going. Do not, all right, do not think that we're taking that down. This is about keeping you safe. You notice the language there too, keeping you safe. This is what I've how many times have I said to you, if there's been a theme for the show forever, it's that all of this is done in the name of keeping you safe. Snitching on you, spying on you, changing algorithms, taking you off of Facebook, Twitter, disabling your social media accounts, whatever it is. All these things are done to keep you safe.
Paul Gazelka wants you to take the hotline down for people to report violations of the stay home order. Do we need a hotline? Is it being used?
It is being used, and we simply want people to be able to call and let folks know, and it's for their own good. We have numbers. If somebody sees a fire at a neighbor's house, they want to tell them. If we see people that may not be as informed on this, it's an educational piece, so we're certainly going to do that, and we're not going to take down a telephone number that allows people just to try and keep their neighbors safe.
Got that? We're just trying to keep you safe, all right? And I love how it's like about a fire. I'm sorry, but if there's a fire, don't you call 911? Don't you call 911 on that? I'm pretty sure you do, right? You don't call the Minnesota State Rat Out Your Neighbor hotline. You call the police or fire department if there's an emergency. This hotline was literally set up. This is so deceptive. This guy's such a liar. This hotline was literally set up so that you could rat out your friends and neighbors. And they justified it. They justified doing so. They even had a handy little email that you could use too to rat out your friends and neighbors. And it's funny too, when you look back on some of the emails that came on, they were like, well, you know, I saw 12 people in their backyard, and they're only supposed to have 10, and only 8 out of the 12 were wearing masks. To keep you safe. All in the name of keeping you safe. Spying on you, having people rat out each other, having communities just turn on each other's backs. It's all in the name of keeping you safe. Democrats love to control everything. They love to use the rhetoric. They love to scare people. They love to do these things. It's just so frustrating to me. It really is. And it's beyond infuriating too. Because that poor woman, you know, who was locked up and jailed for calling for under Tim Walz's COVID orders, who said he's a criminal, should be impeached. I mean, her life was ruined. Her businesses were ruined. These are people who their lives were ruined under Tim Walz. He was one of the biggest, if not the biggest, besides our own idiots in this part of the country. I'll say outside of the East Coast idiots, he was probably the biggest idiot when it came to using the power of government to destroy people's lives and destroy their businesses. But Tim Walz doesn't like the fact that everybody is going after him for being the draconian lockdown czar that he was during COVID. And they don't like the fact that they're going after him for his stolen valor. And it is stolen valor. Make no mistake about it. It is stolen valor. Tim Walz is a bad pick. He's a bad, bad pick. This one guy who is a retired National Guard member alleges Walz left his unit. You know, he went around me. It was a very compelling interview on CNN. The host of the show asked this guy, Doug Julin, you know, whether he thinks that Tim Walz did something wrong or just offended you. And his answer, I think, encapsulates everything we've been talking about here.
I do want to ask this question quickly, Sergeant Major, and I appreciate your time. But is your concern about the manner in which he did not speak to you or his decision to retire, which he, as we've talked about, he would have been entitled to do? Which causes the most concern? Because that is the focus that so many people are wondering about, whether he has done something wrong in service or done something personally to offend you.
He did something wrong in service. As I stated before, he knew the policies and procedures and how we go to leadership and address issues or discuss issues and concerns out there. Again, backing up, he had told me, no, I'm going forward. We're going to go with the battalion and go from there. So I'm under the believing he told me he was going forward. I'm underneath that believing that he's going forward. He went around me, which he should have addressed it with me so we could help do some things out there.
Sergeant Major, so this was really... Excuse me, I don't want to cut you off, sir. Finish your point, please, Sergeant Major.
He went around me. I got to stop you here, though. I got to cut you down. I got to shut you up because you're really making Tim Walz look bad. So let me jump in here and try to hurt your train of thought. But then please finish. Please finish. Go ahead. Please finish.
He went around me, and the fact is that this possibility he probably would have. I realized I would have probably known it's too late, you're going forward, because we had already received our notification of sourcing. And there's one other little point out there that people say, well, he hadn't been notified yet. Yes, he had been notified. Now, boom. There's another step out there is what's called stop loss. 90 days prior to the actual deployment, we received our orders. And at that time is what's called stop loss, where if you're in a position, you're going forward irregardless, unless there's some really major or process that gets you out from not going on the deployment itself. So there's that window of opportunity. And if people say we never knew he was going forward, yeah, he knew he was going forward. Had he gotten his orders yet? No, at that time he had not. As far as being a command sergeant major, he, as soon as he retired, or I'm going to go with the term retired, which he did, and he was eligible after 20 years to get a full retirement. He was taken out of the academy at that time.
Bottom line is this: he ran away. He didn't go and serve. He took his opportunity and he left. So now over at I don't know where he is these days. Where is Jim Acosta these days? Does he even have a real job? I don't even know. Does he? Acosta is over. Are you still at CNN? How is he still at CNN? It's amazing. Well, now he's asking the question, is it even healthy to have these conversations about Tim Walz and his military record? Is it even healthy to do?
And Congressman, just finally, I did want to get your reaction to some of these comments by J.D. Vance going after Kamala Harris's vice presidential running mate, Tim Walz, in his 24 years of service in the National Guard. You served in the Marine Corps. Is that healthy to see that sort of thing going back and forth? Obviously, we saw this launched by J.D. Vance after Tim Walz was named as Kamala Harris's running mate.
No, it's despicable and desperate. J.D. Vance started off his campaign attacking women, then he attacked the police,
women?
Saying he hates the police. Now he's attacking veterans. It just seems like he can't help himself but
he
alienate broad swaths of the American electorate.
He hates veterans?
Politics to a gutter. And it's just, it's not who we are as a country.
Don't you love that it's not who we are stuff? It's not who we are. So now if you attack Tim Walz, think about this now. If you attack Tim Walz for stolen valor, you're now attacking veterans. Got that? You see how the game is played here? You're now attacking veterans. They can't get away from this story. That's the problem. They can't get away from this. So I guess the new strategy is, well, then let's go out there and we'll tell everybody that if you attack Tim Walz, you just hate people that wear the uniform. And let's see how that works out for us. And I guess that's the goal here for them. I guess that's what they're trying to do. I mean, I don't know, but it sounds to me like that's a really, really lame way to get around this. And Tim Walz went on the offensive about this. Oh, and he's very proud of his fake service. I mean, he did serve, but he didn't go to combat, and that's what the issue is. And he knew that they were going to go, and then he decided to go away. That's the reality. That's the situation with Tim Walz. Just call it what it is. Call it what it is. You know, actually, my buddy, a couple hours ago, I was having lunch with Patrick. We were still on our South Jersey wing tour. And I saw that right after I came home and I checked Twitter. And Danny McShute, pointed out a couple of very important points about Tim Walz and his stolen valor. He claimed he had PTSD for Italy. He claimed he carried an M16. He claimed to be in Afghanistan. He claimed he was a command master sergeant. All lies. Hashtag stolen valor. That's who the guy is. That's who the guy is. This is his attack back on J.D. Vance now for exposing his own record.
These guys are even attacking me for my record of service. And I just want to say, I'm proud to serve my country, and I always will be. With my dad's encouragement, a guy who served in the Army during the Korean War, I signed up for the Army National Guard 2 days after my 17th birthday. I served for the next 24 years for the same reason all my brothers and sisters in uniform do. We love this country. Then in 2005, I felt the call of duty again, this time of being service to my country in the halls of Congress. My students inspired me to run for that office, and I was proud to make it to Washington. I was a member of the Veterans Affairs Committee and a champion of our men and women in uniform. I'm going to say it again as clearly as I can. I am damn proud of my service to this country. And I firmly believe you should never denigrate another person's service record. To anyone brave enough to put on that uniform for our great country, including my opponent, I just have a few simple words. Thank you for your service and sacrifice.
No one is denigrating people who serve. No one is denigrating people who put on the uniform. No one is trying to take away from the years that Tim Walz wore a uniform. You know, the story is problematic for the Democrats because they don't want to be discussing this. And at the same time, it's kind of a gift for them, if you think about it. I mean, think about it. As long as they're talking about Tim Walz's stolen valor, they don't have to really be talking about the fact that Kamala Harris is not talking to anybody. How Kamala Harris is not saying anything. How Kamala Harris is literally avoiding every possible interview that she can. How Kamala Harris is doing everything she can to ignore the press and ignore the media. And you have real frustration in the media over this. But I think the Tim Walz thing, we should not let it go away. Because the guy lied, the guy misrepresented himself. And what bothers me about that is when you do that and you then try to justify policy positions based on that, I particularly have an issue when he said, I carried weapons of war in war and these should not be on our streets. So he's trying to use his background to restrict the freedoms of other American people. And to justify that by saying, hey, look, I was in war. I saw the dangers of these things in war. So I'm going to take away your rights, your freedoms. I'm going to take away your Second Amendment. I'm going to take away that gun from you. And to do that and to try to get away with it really bothers me. It really freaking bothers me. And I just don't like politicians who engage in that kind of crap. So I just have a problem with people that do that. It's like they want to boost up their phony record to try to take away liberty, try to take away freedom. There's stolen valor. There's that using credibility he doesn't deserve to then try to take away my rights. And also, too, calling these weapons weapons of war when they're not weapons of—I mean, first of all, every weapon's a weapon of war because, I mean, they use knives in the military. They use handguns in the military. So every weapon's a weapon of war. But to try to use that as justification really bothers me. And then now this idea that if you criticize Waltz for exaggerating who he is and exaggerating his background to try to take away rights and freedoms— to try to restrict the Second Amendment rights of American citizens, to try to disparage some of the most popular firearms in the country, like the AR-15, for example. Now you hate veterans. See? Now you just hate veterans. And that's the big story of the day brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. My buddy, my friend, and the master of dental implants. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. VanariaDental.com. Coming right back.
Thanks for listening to the Cioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
Why does Trump keep talking about Hannibal Lecter, huh? What's that about? Well, somebody actually took the time to write a letter to the editor explaining it. I kid you not, if you ever needed proof that we live in the dumbest time ever, I give you this proof. Why Trump keeps talking about fictional serial killer Hannibal Lecter. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. Our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. It's always a joy to be with you. Just a reminder, we're live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, coming up on Friday, September 6th. I can't wait. It's going to be a great show. So I hope you will join us for that. This is amazing to me. Sorry, my idiot friends are golfing. Why Trump keeps talking about fictional serial killer Hannibal Lecter. So somebody took the time out of their day, two people, Marianne Levine and Clara Ence Morse. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I don't think this is a letter. I think this is actually a real thing. Trump is a crypt keeper for the 1980s, a Trump biographer said. Trump has mentioned Lecter while making baseless claims about immigrants. Hannibal Lecter is a cannibalistic serial killer, a lover of fava beans and a nice Chianti, fictional, and now a regular feature in Donald Trump's speeches. As a Republican presidential nominee riffed on immigration and the border at an August 3rd rally in Atlanta, he declared, "They hate when I use Dr. Hannibal Lecter, the late great Hannibal Lecter." During his acceptance speech at the Republican National Convention last month, he asked, "Has anyone seen The Silence of the Lambs, the late, great Hannibal Lecter? He'd love to have you for dinner. That's insane asylums. They're emptying out their insane asylums." In Wildwood, New Jersey, on May 11th, he told the crowd, "The late, great Hannibal Lecter, he's a wonderful man. Remember the late scene? Remember that last scene? We have people that are being released into our country that we don't want in our country." Do you realize right now that Trump joking around about Lecter is something that the Washington Post is actually taking the time to opine on? They're really doing this. I'm not making this up. How could I make this up? How could anyone with a functioning brain make this up? How could anybody who has a functioning brain make something like this up? They go, "Oh, you know what? Let's have the Washington Post, where their slogan is 'Democracy dies in darkness.' Let's have them have two reporters assigned on it to talk about why Trump keeps making Hannibal Lecter jokes at rallies." He's making a cultural reference about people that are coming to our country who are insane. And some of them were reported to be cannibals, not the kind that ate Joe Biden's great uncle, but cannibals from Haiti. That's where the reference came from. It came from that. But beyond that, I just think it's amazing. I really do. I think it's amazing that the far right wing Washington Post took the time out of their day to write this piece and to justify for everybody why he does this. And I'm cracking up over this as I'm reading this because I'm thinking, this is so dumb. But they want to tie it into his psychology. In Wildwood, New Jersey, on May 11th, he told the crowd, "The late, great Hannibal Lecter, he's a wonderful man." Remember that last scene? First of all, I want to defend Hannibal Lecter for a minute here. First of all, he's an excellent enthusiast of pairing wine properly with food. You know, as an Italian, I take this personally. I really do. Wine can be drank on its own. It can be paired with food. For example, a nice Chianti with a liver. And I think that is a wonderful pairing. No doubt about that. But the bigger point to me is that he could have chosen a low energy California wine, but Lecter went with the Italian Chianti. All right. Bold, Tuscan. Wine of my people. And I admire that. So he has a special place in my heart. Oh, also, he's not real. to point out that people coming over into this country could be crazy, could be killers, as we know that we have arrested people who are illegal immigrants who have literally killed people on U.S. soil since they've come into this country illegally, sometimes even after being released multiple times. As we know all that, when Trump makes this point, the media wants to turn around and go, oh, well, you know, he's doing this because he's insane. He's actually insane. And, you know, for all the people out there that are like, stick to the issues and stick to the facts and don't come up with nicknames and things like that. I think that when you are doing a rally, I mean this, and people turn on the television and they see the problem with illegal immigration and they see the criminals and they see how these criminals are being released on the streets. Like the latest story is an 11-year-old migrant boy was arrested as an aggressor in a violent New York City phone robbery on a subway. You know, it's stuff like that where you go, all right, we got to deal with the border. We got to deal with this, and we got to deal with the situation here, and we need to stop this. So you throw out a Hannibal Lecter reference, and people go, yeah, it's funny, but now you're paying attention in the speech. I didn't write the speech for him, and I don't know if I would have gone with Hannibal Lecter as the point of reference. But for the Washington Post to do a deep dive analysis on this, why Trump keeps talking about Lecter, And then to go on to tying him into something else, which is this. Trump has also spoken about Lecter before, reading The Snake, a poem that he has used to convey an anti-immigrant message at his rallies and public events for years. So you see what they're trying to do here? Trying again to play him as being this guy who hates immigrants. Trump doesn't hate immigrants. Trump hates the open border policy that has allowed illegal immigration and criminals and fentanyl and human trafficking and 75,000 kids to go missing in this country. That's what Trump hates. But then they go even deeper, that Trump is a frozen in time politician. And he's fond of an earlier era, the 1980s, when Trump ruled the New York City clubs and tabloids and first graced the cover of Time magazine. His self-curated rally playlists include hits like YMCA from 1978. Gloria from 1982. Well, a lot of those reasons is because every time he tries to play a more recent song, the singers freak out and try to sue the guy. And they go on and say, don't play our songs. He still has a penchant for gilded interior design. Trump is the crypt keeper for the 1980s, which was the high point of his life until he became president, said Tim O'Brien, a Trump biographer who has criticized the former president. Every time he opens the door, people spill out from the 1980s. Oh. Trump's Hannibal Lecter obsession fits perfectly in this mold. Thomas Harris's novel, The Silence of the Lambs, which the film is based on, hit bookstore shelves around the same time as Trump's 1987 book, Trump, The Art of the Deal. The New York Times had the two books side by side in its paperback bestseller list in mid-1989. The movie, which starred Jodie Foster as FBI cadet Clarice Starling and Anthony Hopkins as Lecter, came out in 1991 and became the first and only horror film to win the Academy Award for Best Picture. A decade later, Trump attended the 2001 New York premiere of Hannibal, the sequel to Silence of the Lambs. He arrived at the premiere of the future with his future wife, Melania Trump, according to the USA Today story. The story noted that the movie studio at the time was concerned about how women would react to the gore. Melania said she had no problems and didn't close her eyes. Trump replied, I did. I can't believe they didn't write a piece about that, how Trump can't handle gory horror movies. Trump began working The Silence of the Lambs in his speeches in March of 2023. He mentioned the movie in an address at CPAC, according to a Washington Post analysis of his speeches this cycle, because they are obsessed with the guy. Lecter himself did not make an appearance until an October rally in Waterloo, Iowa. In 70 speeches tracked by the Post between his campaign kickoff in November 2022 and August 12th, Trump has mentioned Lecter or the film The Silence of the Lambs in 20 of them. Now, if he mentions Reagan, is that also too just because he's obsessed with the 80s? I mean, I guess. The Washington Post also goes on to point out Trump appeared to recognize the references to Lecter may be outdated, musing at a rally in Sioux City that young people hadn't heard of him. The Lecter mentions are a way for Trump to continue upping the ante from his previous descriptions of migrants, said Gwenda Blair, another Trump biographer. It's not just criminals, rapists, which Trump has already used, but let's get cannibals into the mix. Trump is somebody who understands images and branding, and Hannibal Lecter is a well-known established brand of absolutely incendiary horror. Representative Jim Banks of Indiana, who's running for the Senate, thinks there's a simple explanation. It was a great movie. Widely recognized as one of the best movies of all time. Did they actually call the senator to get his comments on this? Like, did these two reporters from the Washington Post actually take the time to pick up a phone, call United States Senator Jim Banks? Senator, we'd like your thoughts on not Iran, not Israel, but why Trump brings up Lecter at his speech. Why Trump references Hannibal Lecter? Senator, do you have time to opine on that for us? Can you imagine the senator when he got the phone? He's like, oh, the Washington Post is calling, sir. Oh, what do they want to talk about? Nuclear war, the potential nuclear war with Iran? What's going on there? The border? They want to talk about the economy? No? Wait, what is it? What? I'm sorry. Hannibal who? Hey, Senator, it's the Washington Post. Why do you think Trump keeps bringing up Hannibal Lecter at rallies? It was a great movie, widely recognized as one of the best movies of all time, and I think he enjoys that liberals like you get bent out of shape about it, which is what the quote was from the senator. I think he keeps using it because the Washington Post is taking the time to actually write about it, because you're so triggered by the fact that he made a reference to Hannibal Lecter. That's why he keeps using it. I mean, man, this guy lives rent-free in their brains, does he not? Trump lives rent-free in their brains. Several people close to the Trump campaign said they did not know the backstory for Trump's fixation on Lecter and had never asked. His speeches also seemed to have perplexed Hopkins, the Welsh actor who won an Oscar for playing Lecter. In an interview with Deadline, Hopkins observed, "Hannibal, that's a long time ago, that movie. God, that was over 30 years ago. I'm shocked and appalled what you told me about Trump." So a reporter took the time to ask Sir Anthony Hopkins about Trump referencing a fictional character that Hopkins played in a movie. Okay. In interviews at Trump's rally in Atlanta, voters offered different interpretations. So then they went out and talked to voters. Two people of the Washington Post, if you ever want to justify downsizing in media, this article, this piece in the Washington Post should be your justification for it. This is why you're seeing layoffs in newsrooms. Hi, we're with the Washington Post. What do you think about Trump using Hannibal Lecter at these rallies? Jim Scandal, 72 years old, said, "Well, the first time I heard it, I was like, what? But after I heard it a couple of times, it was like, oh, I get the connection now." He's trying to make the point that a lot of these people that are coming illegally in this country are from mental institutions, just like Hannibal Lecter. And so, you know, it has nothing to do with Hannibal Lecter, except for the fact that Lecter was in a mental institution. Right. That wasn't enough, though. They had to get more people's opinions. Bert Sandler, 66, laughed when he was asked about The Silence of the Lambs. Sandler hasn't seen the movie in probably 6 years, but exclaimed, "With fava beans," as he reflected on Trump's comments. He had a more philosophical interpretation. I think he's just speaking about where the world is today. I think that's where we are, the divisiveness. I think he's just trying to portray a character that's pretty divisive and needed a lot of help, and I think America needs a lot of help. But that wasn't good enough for the Washington Post. They had to find somebody else. So they found Debbie Courtney, who offered a shorter take. "I just think evil. I don't think he's talking about somebody eating somebody for dinner. I think he's just making the point about evil." The Trump campaign did not offer further clarification about the former president's penchant for mentioning Lecter or volunteer his personal positions on fava beans and Chianti, they write. Instead, Stephen Chung replied in a statement, "President Trump is an inspiring and gifted storyteller, and referencing pop culture is one of the many reasons why he can successfully connect with the audience and voters. Whereas Vice President Kamala Harris is as relatable as a worn out couch." Now, I just want to make another point, too, about these cultural references. So, you know, the movie Alien that came out in, what was it, 1986. James Cameron directed it. Well, I'm sorry, Aliens is the sequel. The original came out in 1979. Do you know there's another Alien movie coming out? Alien Romulus, which is coming out in this year. I think the exact date is going to be August 16th. Well, this weekend. Oh, it's coming out this weekend. I didn't even realize that. And I'm definitely going to go see it. Think about how many remakes they've made from the 80s. Just out of curiosity, like Garfield. Garfield, I grew up watching Garfield cartoons. I just watched the Garfield movie recently and it was great. Super Mario Brothers, which was an arcade game in the 80s. My son loves playing Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario Kart. We took him to see the Mario Brothers movie. Chris Pratt did a great job voicing Mario, even though he's not Italian. And I was offended by the cultural appropriation choice of Chris Pratt playing Mario, but I'll get over that. It's okay. He's no Captain Lou Albano, but, you know, I'll leave it at that. My point is that they are remaking or making movies from the 80s all of the time because people love nostalgia. There's a reason why they're doing this. They just remade Roadhouse with Jake Gyllenhaal. Roadhouse was one of the signature movies of the 1980s. And they just remade it on Netflix with Jake Gyllenhaal because people loved it. I didn't see the remake. I don't know how it is. The Terminator. The Terminator came out in the 1980s, 1984 to be exact. How many times have they made another Terminator to the point where you go, can you please terminate this freaking franchise already? And it's very possible we may get another Rambo movie. I don't think Stallone's done yet. I hope not. The point is nostalgia sells. If it didn't sell, they wouldn't keep remaking these movies or making sequels to these movies or making add-ons to these movies. So tweet me on X at Rich Zeoli and tell me your favorite 80s movie that was recently remade. Or I'll give you one I just noticed the other day on Apple TV, Time Bandits. Do you remember that movie? It is now a show on Apple TV. It was a 1981 film. There's a show on Apple TV called Presumed Innocent with Jake Gyllenhaal, based on the book, which was also a book released in the movies, which was, released in the 1980s. And it was a movie that came out in the 1980s starring Harrison Ford. It was actually the late 1980s, 1990. So there's something to this whole nostalgia thing. Maybe Donald Trump taps into. And there's something about this whole Washington Post thing, which is that it's freaking ridiculous. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to the Zeoli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
Kamala Harris can't shake her anti-fracking past. That's right. An article from the Washington Post going into great detail about this. In Pennsylvania, Harris can't shake her anti-fracking past. The vice president's history of hostility towards fossil fuels creates an acute political challenge in the must-win state of Pennsylvania. Because Kamala Harris has long been a climate kook, and she wants to put energy jobs away for good. And she's ran on this, and she bragged in 2020 about signing a fracking ban on day one, and she bragged about the fact that she has been a climate change kook warrior as her time in California. This is what she said at a CNN town hall back in 2020 when she pledged to destroy fracking.
Will you commit to implementing a federal ban on fracking your first day in office, adding the United States to the list of countries who have banned this devastating practice?
There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. So
no question.
And starting with what we can do on day one around public lands, right? And then there has to be legislation. But yes, and this is something I've taken on in California. I have a history of working on this issue. And to your point, we have to just acknowledge that the residual impact of fracking is enormous in terms of the impact on the health and safety of communities. Yeah. So thank you.
So a long history of fighting to destroy energy jobs. So in Pennsylvania, where they talk to voters, people that even acknowledge they'll vote Democrat down ballot, but they won't vote for Democrats for president. Never again. Because fracking is so crucial to Pennsylvania's economy. The article in the Washington Post also goes into the fact that Tim Walz has also been an environmental warrior, a green energy nutbag himself. And had Kamala Harris picked a more moderate running mate, somebody like Pennsylvania Josh Shapiro, who ran on supporting fracking, she may have had a chance of winning Pennsylvania. But the article goes on to lament that workers in Pennsylvania and towns in Pennsylvania that thrive off of fracking are also very concerned because this administration, the Biden-Harris administration, has put a ban on the export of liquid natural gas, which is also crucial to Pennsylvania's economy. I've long said to you, whoever wins Pennsylvania will be the next president of the United States of America. Based on this article, Kamala Harris has no chance of winning because voters are not seeing through her flip-flop. She hasn't even explained her flip-flop. Look, we all get it. She's a chameleon. Chameleon. We get it. But there's no explanation for it. Just suddenly turning around and saying, yeah, we're not going to ban fracking anymore. This is a person who's had a long history of doing it, that is part of an administration that has been hostile to the environment, part of the administration has been doing everything it possibly can to make fracking impossible. And why would you shut off our own liquid natural gas exports when you know that that's only going to fuel madmen and dictators like Vladimir Putin and other crazy people around the world? Vladimir Putin has no problem selling his liquid natural gas to countries, but the United States of America won't? I mean, this is crucial to Pennsylvania in 2024. And the article in the Washington Post goes on to say that not only does this administration show a hostility towards fracking, but it's energy jobs in general. And people that don't necessarily even work in the industry know that that could mean decimation for their towns, jobs, businesses that rely on this, plus individuals who get leases from the energy companies and get royalties. Plus, the fracking industry pays billions of dollars in taxes. And this is a disaster for Pennsylvania if Kamala Harris gets elected. So I think based on this story in the Washington Post, Kamala Harris is done in the must-win state of Pennsylvania. Thank you so much for listening to the show tonight. Appreciate it. Have a great rest of your night. The great one, Mark Levin, is up next. Don't forget, live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, Friday, September 6th for our next live show. Thank you for listening.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.